Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. All right. Well, welcome back to the Peace, Health, and Joy podcast. I am your host, Diana Wallace. And today I'm so excited to have back with me again my special guest, Melissa Swain. And Melissa and her husband, Chris, ministered together for about 23 years before Chris was unexpectedly called home to heaven in 2021. Mm-hmm. Today, Melissa is a mom, an author, a homeschool mom, not just your average mom, she's a homeschool mom. And today we are going to have a conversation. She and I have had a similar conversation a few times. And finally, we're like, we just need to go ahead and do this as an episode. Because if you are a widow, if you know a widow, mm-hmm. or probably more likely, you may not have entered the club. I hope you never do. Okay. But if you have ever found yourself thinking, what if something happened to my husband? What if something happened to me? What if something happened to one of my kids? This episode is just for you. So Melissa and I are really just going to have a conversation, and you get to listen into us today and or in with us or however that would go. And we're just going to talk about it. We're just going to go there because this is on the mind of a lot of women I talk to on the regular. Melissa, do you hear this question yourself? Do you hear people talk about the what ifs?
More than that, I hear I couldn't do that.
As if we got to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. I didn't sign up for this. It's not a checkbox that I selected on any form that I ever filled out.
Ever.
I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't think I could do it either. And I honestly, truthfully, I can't because I'm not doing anything in my own strength. It is straight from the Lord. That is the only reason that I can get out of bed in the morning and put one foot in front of the other and continue to feed my children and drive them the places and, you know, do my laundry and the things that have to be done. It is all strength from the Lord. None of it is mine.
That is so powerful. And that is so true. I remember in our own journey, losing my husband, Tim, we had been to the hospital for the initial hospital visit. And over a 72-hour period, so in 3 days, my daughter, Bailey, and I had had a grand total, but not all at the same time. We had had a grand total of 6 hours of sleep over a three-day period during that mm-hmm. visit. And I remember realizing I completely reached the limits of my own capacity during that time. And I literally ran out of myself by that point. And what we didn't know at that time was we still had an 8-month journey ahead of us. And it wasn't like, oh, and when that 8-month journey was over, then we were all relaxed and we could, you know, go back to living as mm-hmm. usual. No, what we didn't realize at that time was life was never going to be the same again.
Right.
Never. And so It's just very important to realize, like what you're saying, this is not you being like mega spiritual. Oh, it is just the Lord in me who carries me through the days of. No, it's actually you ran out of you pretty early on, like we do. And God himself goes ahead and he shows up and he carries us through the thing we didn't check the box for, the thing we didn't want. We didn't want in the club. And a lot of women spend a lot of time in the land of either what if or I couldn't do what you're doing. But they spend time in something that has been called anticipatory grief. That is where we play a game with ourselves and we think ahead and we think, oh, if that happened, then I would do this and I would do that and I would do this. And so how accurate or real life do you suppose that could be, Melissa?
None. 0%. You know, we've gone out with our girlfriends and we've talked, you know, if something happened to my husband, I would take the life insurance and I would, you know, move to the beach and I would do this and I would do that. You know, like we've all had those like casual kind of fun conversations thinking about, oh, if this happened, then I'll just figure this out and I'll do this. And that's 0% accurate. None of it. None of it.
That is so true. I completely agree, because how we are today thinking ahead to that potential future version of ourselves, we cannot imagine her. Don't even, I have been known to say, please, do not waste one moment of today and of now trying to anticipate what that could feel like. And what that isn't is, I never mean to be dismissive, but today is really all we have. And yes, we say that, but it's actually true. And so if you're listening to this episode right now, here's a little pro tip for you. Go ahead and hit pause. Go find your husband and give that man a big old hug and snuggle, sloppy wet kiss, all the things right now. Smell him, feel his big hug, all the things. Savor that right now, knowing that in the future, should something happen, you actually will not be able to handle it. You won't, but God in you will. He will grace you for the thing, and you will always be so grateful for that moment where you took a minute to just smell, so to feel with your fingers like the back of his hair, all the weird little things. Savor them today. But Melissa, I really wanted us to take some time and spend some time talking about the what ifs. And you've shared how you yourself have played the what if game and kind of how that played out for you not too long ago.
Yes, we lost Chris suddenly, and I wasn't at home when he collapsed. He'd walked out to get the mail, taken our puppy out with him to get the mail, and he collapsed at the mailbox. The kids and I were in another state, like 10 hours drive away, 9 to 10 hours. And so, like, I think that part of what grief does is make you, and trauma, you replay things over and over in your mind. And like, what if I hadn't answered the phone? What if this? What if that? What if, and all of the things. And so, like, I've been down the road of, what if we didn't go visit family? What if we were home? What if the neighbor who first found Chris was not trained in CPR and not a trained first responder? What if my neighbor, who is a fireman and lives across the street, what if he hadn't sprained his ankle and been at home that day? All kinds of what ifs on that side. But then there are also the what ifs of today, 2.5 years later. What would it be like if he was here? Would I have made that decision? What truck would we have bought for my son? Would I still have done that? Would that still have been a decision that I made? where would I've put the couch? Like, I mean, it's small things, but also the big things, like the parenting choices and all of the things that you think of. There are so many what ifs that you can allow to invade your brain space if you are not careful.
Big time. Big time. And it is powerful to take a moment and think, well, now, if he were still here, what would life look like? And gosh, I mean, that can feel like we can't imagine that scenario any more than we can imagine. We could have imagined what if something happened to him beforehand. Like, we simply could not have imagined. I remember joking with him. So Tim, my late husband, was a pastor. And so as a pastor, we attended an unusual number of funerals. And after each funeral, it was common as we were driving home for us to have a conversation that went something like this. Did y'all ever do things like this? Did y'all ever have these conversations?
Sometimes. Chris was not a fan of them.
Okay. Well, I can't say it was our favorite, but we would occasionally, because I had, my dad had passed away in 1999 at the age of 52. And that was really one of my first brushes with actual mortality, like what that can happen. And so, and then being in ministry and doing, spending a lot of time with people who had lost family members and navigating some different situations with them. But the conversation would go something like, oh, you know, that could actually happen. Like, that could actually happen. And no, Tim didn't really love to talk about it either. But I would typically say things like, now, if anything ever happens to me, first of all, I want to be buried in my leopard dress. And, you know, and I want you to do it like this. And I want things like this. But here's the most important thing. If anything ever happens to me, call your mom. Call your mom and have her get there as soon as possible, because I knew that he would not be able to function in my absence. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that sounds a little arrogant, but do you feel that way, Melissa? Would you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I had told him, I was like, listen, if something happens to me and the kids are still little, and the kids are still young and at home and like can't drive and all of those things, you have to remarry. Like, you don't have a choice, because you can't afford a nanny and a housekeeper and a cook and an Uber for everything that has to go on. Like, you have to do that. And he would always say, because that's not going to happen. And he would always say, I'm going to go first anyway. You're the one who's going to have to deal with that. And I was like, no, I'm, you know, like, no, that's not going to happen. Or, you know, like, not till we're old. It's fine. But, you know, I don't know if he was just joking or if the Lord gave him a little bit of prophecy there. But like, that's what he would always say. He wouldn't even consider the idea.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I would say let those words fall dead, but okay. Anyway. Oh my gosh. Well, I would say to Tim, so get your mom over here first thing, and then you are going to need to remarry. And then I would say, but she's going to need to be at least 20 years younger than you to keep up with you, because that would just be important. So it's funny that we both had that same wisdom. Like, dude, not like we could be easily replaced. And we know that more now than we would have known in those conversations, because our husbands cannot be replaced. Those people cannot be replaced. But it's humorous that you had that same sentiment. You're going to need a lot of back end help, buddy, because I do a lot around here. Okay. Yeah. So one of the things that I was recently reminded of that I had heard about when it comes to the what if land, you know, we get stuck in the land of what if, and we can think, oh my gosh, you know, what if this thing happened? And there can be a deception that we think in some way, like, if I anticipate this grief, whether it's what if something happens to my husband, What if something happens to my health? What if something mm-hmm. happens to one of my children? What if something happens to, you know, the job, whatever it is? We play this little game with ourselves, like we can anticipate. Well, if I go ahead and think it all through now, then mm-hmm. when it comes, it won't hurt as bad. And as much as I wish I could say to the dear friend who might be listening to this, playing that game, it doesn't work that way. And I wish it did. But literally, our brain changes with a trauma like that. Mm-hmm. And it initially, this is going to sound rough. And Melissa, I know you can speak to this as well. Your brain literally changes. You immediately start creating new pathways to be able to function in this new world where that person of so much significance in your life is absent. The things mm-hmm. that they did, the things that they drew out of you, that they called out of you that no one else could, that is gone. And your brain mm-hmm. literally, physically goes to work tackling that. While it's doing that, old pathways may not be accessible anymore. You and I have talked about how you go to do the most daily basic thing and you don't know how.
Mm-hmm. You forget why you walk into a room. You stand there trying to make the thing for dinner that you've made 1,000 times before and you don't know how to do it. You know, yeah.
Absolutely. I went to the bank to make a deposit. Yeah. I not only had been a longtime bank customer, but I had actually worked for the bank group and had filled out deposit slip like thousands of times. Walked mm-hmm. in a couple of days after Tim passed away to the same branch that we always went to, saw all the same people. Nothing was the same except everything mm-hmm. was the same. And I remember standing there with a pen in my hand thinking, I have not the first clue of what to do here. Mm-hmm. What is date? Like, what does that even mean? Now, what can happen is we can start thinking, I have lost my ever-loving mind. It is gone forever and I will be like this forever, right? That's mm-hmm. natural. And that's not the truth, but it can feel that way. And so be encouraged. Like if it's you or if it's a good friend of yours who's navigating this right now, do be encouraged. It really will not be this way forever. Your brain will make the new pathways. There's the thing called widow's brain. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it is. Actually, do believe it's permanent, but it is not permanently disabling.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go back.
No, I don't think we go back, but I've described it to my kids as a brain glitch because it's like you know, when you're streaming something and it like, the screen jumps or whatever. And it's like, oh, suddenly you're in a different place than you were before. And you don't know how you got there. And that's kind of what your brain does. And you're like, I don't know what's happening right now, but I just need to do something else. Sometimes you just like, you can't fill out the deposit slip. Somebody else has to do that. Or, you know, somebody else has to fix dinner and you just have to just work your way around the brain glitch and just keep going.
That's so good. I love that. But it's true. It's true. And that dovetails to the thing that neither one of us naturally love to do. Being firstborns in families with lots of children, we are very capable and we can do anything, right?
Yes, of course.
But the idea of having to ask for help.
It's the worst.
It's tormentous.
It's the worst.
That's a great idea. Having to admit, because I do believe there is a little story that gets in our heads that I should be mm-hmm. able to handle this. I should mm-hmm. be able to do this. I should. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because I've always been that person. I've always been the one who could do the things, and now I can't. And so I feel like I'm not even myself. And that's where you kind of get stuck, is that you don't even feel like you're yourself in your own body, and you don't know who this person is who has taken over your life because you can't do the things that you have always done. Like even something like blow drying your hair becomes like this huge burdensome activity when before, you know, just a few months ago, I was building shelves in the pantry. Like I'm using power tools. And like there was a time there for a little while that I would not have gotten anywhere close to a power tool because I wouldn't trust myself with them. And so like you kind of hit this weird spot of like, I don't even know who I am anymore, but I don't even know how to be me anymore. And that's not really something that you can anticipate or understand until you're right there in the middle of it.
I completely agree. The me that we were before is not the same me that we are now. And what's really weird for ourselves and for other people who love us, we actually look a lot the same on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so people may look at us and we look fine. We look okay. We look the same. We must be the same. We're not, you know, we don't have black eyes, or maybe our eyes are, you know, not as puffy from crying as we might have thought or whatever. But at the end of the day, we do look the same on the outside, but on the inside, we are navigating mammoth changes. Well, I can't even speak to you. Some will go back to how they were before. There are parts of us that will always remain, just as there are parts of our loved one who will always remain with us.
Yeah.
And there are parts that are literally gone and possibly permanently. But no, we cannot anticipate that. So something that I had heard some time ago and was reminded last week, I was in a conversation with a friend who is also a widow. And she and I were talking about the what ifs and how we simply cannot anticipate them. But she reminded me of something that I had heard that she had recently read, and it just landed so beautifully. And it is, and it kind of loops back around to the beginning of this conversation today. Instead of what if, can we go to even if? Even if this happens, can I trust that God's got me, that he's got me, that he's going to take care of me? He's the one who has sustained you, Melissa.
Yes.
Through the things. He has sustained me. We know that. But even if the thing happens, can I trust, will I trust that he's got me, that he's got my kids, your kids, can I trust even if that thing comes to pass?
Yeah, I think that really God's been dealing with me a lot on trust lately. And I think it's different than faith. I think trust is kind of putting feet to the faith that we have. And, you know, one of the things that Chris said and adopted about two and a half years before Chris passed away, my brother passed away. And after that, Chris adopted a value that he said, we need to choose joy daily because we don't get to choose our times of mourning. And he really lived that out. And I think that that reminds me that I get to choose, that I get to choose to trust the Lord. Recently, the kids and I were going to go on a trip. And I've never been a worrier. Like, that's just not in my nature. I've never really dealt with anxiety. But after Chris died, there's just been so many things that I have worried about and had anxiety over. And, you know, we have always been a family that traveled a lot. And it was important to us to keep doing that. And so getting ready to go on this trip, you know, those what ifs come into your mind. Like, what if something happens to the house while I'm gone? What if the dog needs this medicine that the doctor said he might need while I'm gone? What if? And so you can only do so many things to hedge those things. Like, okay, I have a neighbor checking on the house. I have a friend who can take medicine to the dog if he needs it. We've got our bases covered. But one of the things that really just kept eating at me was, what if one of us gets sick on this trip? Because I'm the only grown-up. I'm the only one who can go and do certain things. My kids can't go and do stuff without me, with, you know, like, they're minors. They can't just leave me and go and have fun. And so the first night we were there, my daughter woke up in the middle of the night sick. And like the gross kind of sick, the kind of sick that no one wants to have, but also you certainly don't want to have in a hotel room. And she ended up in the bed with me, and I'm like scooting to the edge because I don't want her germs. And I'm like trying to love her and pat her, but at the same time, like, I don't want your germs, stay over there away from me. And I thought, you know, all the thoughts in the middle of the night come into your head. It's here. It's happened. The thing that I what if'd is, it's happening right now. And in that moment, I had a choice to make. And all I could do was say, Lord, I trust you. This was not a what if in your book. This was always set to happen. And I think those things are hard to reconcile to. But in that moment, all I could do and all I could say was, I trust you. Like, you've got this. You knew about this, and I trust you. And it was all I could do, but it was all I needed to do. And it was okay. It was okay. Like, it's not the way we wanted to start our vacation, but it was okay. God took care of it. And he took care of us. And it was fine.
And you got through it. You know, I think about just to unpack that a little bit more. So typically when you travel, like with your husband, and you're in a hotel room and somebody gets sick, let's suppose that someone needs to run out and get like Pedialyte because of dehydration to prevent that. Or let's suppose they need to run out and get like some ibuprofen. And when you are the mama and you have two kids, it isn't like you can say, hey, I need you to run out and do this. That's not going to happen. And so you really do go into a, not really like totally hypervigilant state, but kind of like, you're just like all points, like evaluating, preparing for, being prepared to respond to all the points of possibility. But in that moment, in that hotel room, God was there. Yes. And he got you through it, like he does, like only he can do.
Yes.
And you got through it. And then, did you get to go have fun eventually?
We did. We had a great time. She was fine 12 hours later. And, you know, we did the whole Teladoc thing. And, you know, one of the ways that God provided for us in that moment was, I texted my travel agent and she was like, oh, girl, I got you. Let me send you this thing. And so, like, the Lord had her in my life to provide me with a resource that I needed in another state. I mean, you know, like, and there were people who had texted, hey, how's the trip going? Well, you can pray for this right now. And they did. And like, there are so many instances over the last 2.5+ years that I can say the Lord went before us and he took care of it, because there's no other explanation for any of that.
I love that so much. I love the way that, honestly, it's hard. It is hard when you lose your mate. And I love the way that our faith and our experience of God only goes deeper as a result of navigating the unthinkable. How would you say your relationship with God today is different than it was in June of 2021?
It's very different. It's hard to put into words sometimes. You know how where is it in 1 Thessalonians when Paul says pray without ceasing, that really becomes a way of life, I think, because there's never an amen, I'm done with this prayer. It seems to just be a constant running thing in my head all the time, because that's the only way, you know. And I sat in the Psalms for a long time after Chris died, and like realizing that God has other people, like in the Bible, like David's, you know, David's tantrums, almost like things are terrible, don't let people hurt me, you know, like I hate all of this. I'm like, man, David's my bro, man. like that's in the Bible. And so, you know, I knew that God was not afraid of my feelings before, but there's just a whole different level of like, all right, God, what you got now? Because here's all of these horrible things that I'm having to deal with. And oh, by the way, you knew they were all going to happen. So let's take care of this. You're on deck. Let's go.
It is a deeper communion, right? It is a deeper fellowship with the Father. And I love that how you've said, you know, it is not like one prayer ends and another one begins. It is a constant communication with the only one who can actually do anything about the thing, yeah. Right? It's like we can get all up in our head and think, I should be able to figure this out. I should, but we can't. We don't have the capacity. Yeah. Our capacity's changing or adjusting or whatever. But to snuggle in deep to the Father, I think of Psalm 91. I think of being at the hospital the day that I had sat with a surgeon, and this wonderful woman surgeon had said to me, he might have 6 months to live. And I was just completely thinking, no. We were just out kayaking and paddleboarding like 2 days ago. Like, I think you're in the wrong room, except also I know you were here and here we are. But I remember that day, just a couple hours later, some friends had come to visit and they said to me, and I'm a visual person. So if you're listening to this on audio, just imagine that you have your hand cupped and out in front of you. And my friend held their hand out like that. And they said, God has got you in the palm of his hand. And I remember looking at that hand and I literally said to them, I mean, please forgive me, dear friends, you know who you are. Please forgive me if this was offensive. But I said, oh, no. He would never leave me so vulnerable and exposed out there. He has got me. And now I'm putting my hand cupped under like my arm. He has got me under his wing, tucked up under his wing, close to his heart, where I can hear his heartbeat. Like, I'm going to need to be able to hear that over the days and weeks and even now years to come, where he hides us under his wing. Mm-hmm. That is such a powerful place to be. We are protected. We are near his heart. We're not just out there where the wind of life can blow us off, you know, thump us off of our of any kind of vulnerable place. It's so beautiful how scriptures written thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years, however many years ago it was, how they are living and they can minister to us even today. And that how we read it 2 years ago might be totally different today, because those words, those letters are literally living. It's a living word. But how God invites us into just the deep with him. And he does not leave us, and he never will. And when absolutely everything else in our lives changes and we look around and we just think, I do not like this. I do not like it in a box. I do not like it with a fox. I do not like it. Sam, I am. I do not like it. He's still there with us. Yeah. And he's still loving on us, and he will carry us through. He may carry us through dragon, and he may drag us kicking and screaming, But I love, Melissa, your way of just being super honest about it and super candid about it. I do not like this. Do not like this. And how David in the Bible is your bro. And yeah. I totally get that. He modeled for us such tantrums, such vulnerability and authenticity, you know, like,
yeah,
and it's just such a beautiful model of, we don't have to be all high and holy all the time. We can actually be a snotty, slobbery mess and come to him. And God is not going, well, I am deducting 10 points for your deportment today, or your, you know, your poor citizenship today. No, he's like, come here, sister. Come here, honey. I got you. I love you. I love you so much. And he can even pull something beautiful out of the hard. And he does. It is bizarre. So when the what ifs come, we are invited to reframe it with even if. Even if. And today, those listening, you're hearing two widows saying, even if the things happen, God will not leave you. He will provide for you in ways that you could never have imagined. Not just financially, like in relationships, in encouragement, in creative solutions that you and your husband may never have been able to come up with. And God can drop it in your mind and spirit like that. And you go, whoa, okay, I think I'll do this. And it is the club that no one wants to be in. But there is a weird sweetness, and you are not the same you. I'm going to ask you, would you say, first of all, I just hold you to be a very determined, persistent, I'm going to use the word gritty person, but would you say, and I mean all of that in the best possible way,
of course.
Would you say that you are more gritty now than you were before becoming a widow?
So here's what I think about that. Grit, when we have grit, we have to have it. We have it because we have to have it because we need it. But sometimes when you have like sandpaper, it's gritty, but it also kind of smooths things over and softens things a little bit. So yeah, I think that I'm still the doer and the I've got to get things done and, you know, like pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of girl every now and then. But I think in a lot of ways that I've kind of been softened around the edges a little bit in some ways. You gain a perspective that you didn't have before, and the things that matter really a lot. And the things that don't matter. And so I think with the perspective that you gain, and it feels weird to say that you gain something in loss, like it because I didn't want it, but now that I have it, I still have the grit because there's nobody else to deal with a kid that needs a puke bucket at 1:30 in the morning. You still have that, but in other areas, there's more softness.
Melissa, you are a deep well. I love every time I get to visit with you. I love that so much. That is so beautiful. Yes. The grit can knock some of the roughness off the edges. And yeah, there might have been some roughness on the edges. Of course there were. And it's beautiful how God can use that to refine us, to make us, yeah, there are gains. There are gains in this massive loss. And I just believe that speaks to God's economy, if you will. how he just blesses, and then he blesses some more, and then he blesses some more. And it may not feel like a blessing, but oh, there's some more blessing. And it just reveals his character, his abundant nature, and his faithfulness, his unending faithfulness in our lives. And I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Well, what did we not touch on today that we wish we did before I start to wrap us up? This is so golden.
I don't know. There's so much.
There is. Yes, girl. Yes, there is. You know, yes. So I'll say to those of you who are either watching or who are listening, if there was something in here today that encouraged you, reach out to Melissa on Instagram at With the Swains. Melissa published a book with/for her husband. He was writing this book before he passed away unexpectedly. Melissa picked up the ball and ran with it and published the book in his absence. And it is called Write It on Their Hearts. And so I'll make sure that there are links to both of the, well, links to a link to the book in the show notes below. If you are wanting to be intentional about how to disciple your children and you find that you are not finding the right resource, this could be the one for you to help you find practical ways of discipling your children in your home, outside your home, all around the place. And this is something that Melissa and her husband, Chris, wrote, and it's just a treasure. So, Melissa, thank you. Thank you for being here with me today. I do feel like we have more conversation to cover, and I would love to hear from our listeners. You know, what would that even look like? What would be helpful or valuable to y'all? And always, it is so awesome to get to visit with you. It is always a blessing. It is always an encouragement. And I bless the Lord for connecting us years ago. Yes. I don't even, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not even sure exactly how we probably connected through your mom, but I just bless the Lord that we've stayed connected. And I really appreciate your time today with me and with our listeners. And I just speak blessing all over you and your kids. And just thank you inside out for being with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so good. So, everybody else, thank you for being with us today. And I hope, it is always my hope, that between now and our next time together, that you will literally either sprinkle peace, health, and joy around like confetti, or you will throw it all over yourself and encourage yourself today. So have a wonderful week. I will see you next Friday.
This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast. And two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.